Okay, this is the meeting of the Metempsychosis editorial group on the 14th of July, 2021. And we're going to be talking about the work that was done at the last meeting on our mission and values statements, and then probably going on to talk about updates on the work on plenum, the editorial work on plenum that has been done and still needs to be done. So,
Cool, and we
great.
have myself, Jeffrey, Jen are here. Should we each give our own up, maybe check-in updates, kind of more for the group, and then move on to the specific topics?
Good idea. Who wants to start?
I guess I could start maybe, although I don't have much to say. I'm kind of
You
pleased
say
that
you don't have much to say.
summer is here, I guess. And lockdown is sort of, there's still some traces of it around where everybody's still going around in masks and there are still limits on how many people can meet. But at least we don't have curfew anymore. And, I'm moving around through the city space doing stuff. So that does feel, like a step forward in some sense. And I'm feeling less isolated and closed in on myself. And busy with writing and my other projects as well. So busy, I guess.
Yeah, I see traces of what you're doing on the internet, various places that I think, oh, Jeffrey Jen's working
Yeah,
on
so I've
hard at
been
work.
doing my Wattpad. I don't know if it's a novel or a set of stories, but anyway, on sort of a fa an odd fantasy thing that I'm doing. So young adult fantasy thing.
That's cool.
So.
Does Wattpad get, it has like a comment function? Like, does it give you
It
that kind
does.
of
It has
reader
quite a
interaction?
detailed, I mean, you can comment each paragraph, so if you look at some
Wow.
people's writing where they have thousands of followers, they have like 16 comments on each paragraph or, different paragraphs going down. I have what, seven followers, so it's not the same thing, but
They
I
probably
should post
really
that
love
out.
you.
You're making me think I should come over and check it out.
I am enjoying it, but it's a challenge to write an episode a week because they recommend that you post once a week. Coming up with, a sufficient amount of material each week is tricky, I find. But anyway, so one for week, for instance, I just posted a drawing because at least I got the drawing done, but I didn't get the writing done.
That sounds like a nice outlet, though. And you get some immediate feedback too, like even from
Yeah,
the
some
smaller
like
group.
Andre and stuff, yeah. And I'm also been sitting in on the SIFWA writing circle every week now. So that's the Science Fiction Writers of Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America. And they do just a writing circle where people do a little bit of social catching up and then write together every week. So I've been going to that, and I find that wonderful, a way of sort of connecting with it's very different, like, because I do NaNoWriMo and things like that, but NaNoWriMo tends to be largely beginner, non-professional writers. But SIFWA is professional writers. These are people, not all of them, but who are doing this for a living. And so there's sort of no need to coach or anything like that. It's just people enjoying to write together and share a little bit some ideas and stuff. It's really interesting. I'm really enjoying that.
Is this a virtual or an in-person meetup?
Virtual, yeah.
But it's writing at the same time, so like synchronous.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. They do 45 minutes each person writing. We're all on Zoom together, but we're each writing in ourselves. Then they do a sharing for 15 minutes in small groups. Then they do another 45 minutes, everybody writing, and then they have a kind of a half hour socializing with everybody. And they also have a guest come in, so he or she does a 15 or 20 minute intro beforehand. So you get professional writers coming in to do the sort of manage the group, and then it's this sort of just being in the same space and writing together. It's interesting.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be really productive.
It is. It is very productive.
Are you given writing prompts or
No. Prompt? Although I think that's open. But usually it's not. It's usually just free time to do whatever you want. But everybody talks a little bit about their projects, so you get to hear what people are working on.
Well, that sounds good.
They are good people. Like, they're not a small organization. They're very big, but they're very good at just like doing things on a human scale.
Yeah.
I think. And like doing right by their members. CIFWA are like
Canadian specifically?
No, it's mostly American, I think. And they are the reason.
Talk about them changing the name. So they're right now the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America, but they're talking about changing it for the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association, which would leave it international because their membership is actually quite international now.
Yeah. So. But they're the reason, they're like part of the reason why speculative fiction has standard pay rates, for example, like is like organizations like them. So if you want to be a speculative fiction magazine, you have to pay 8 cents a word to be considered professional. And that means that speculative fiction writers are more able to support themselves because there's a standard pay. And they do like a lot of advocacy work for like legal side. They're helping.
So this whole kerfuffle between Disney and the number of writers right now is
Disney is refusing to pay royalties. Disney claims that it acquired the rights to publish Star Wars novelizations, but not the obligation to pay the author's royalties.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is like kind of like they're just like they take the fan fiction written by others and then.
You know how you can go to a bookstore and there's like a whole shelf of novelizations in the Star Wars universe. So everything that was like written before Disney acquired Star Wars, they're like, well, we get to keep publishing those, but we no longer have to pay you for it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And Disney like thinks, I mean, they're probably right. They think they can get away with that because they're gigantic and they can just throw lawyers at it until everyone is dead. But CIFWA is like, wading into that, like has lawyers and is helping those writers out.
Oh, that's nice. So, that's good. Yeah. Okay. That's they're like a union in a way.
Yeah.
In a way.
More that advocacy work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's new with you, Mary?
Well, I went down to, I was down in California a couple of weeks ago, meeting up with some writer friends. So that was like a fantastic kind of writing retreat. Got another short story written, like in draft form. And then I was in quarantine, which you would think would be really good for writing, but was about average. I don't have news to announce. I just... But I'm feeling good about the writing I'm doing every day. Good. So
good.
This is actually moving into the meat of the meeting yet, but I haven't started reading your latest version, Geoffrey Jent, but it's like on my list when things soon.
It was a challenge to get it done. It was yeah.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see. Yeah,
because you guys had a lot of comments, and some of them were required significant rewriting parts of the book. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll still wait for you to start, but if I get through magically, the other things on my list sooner than that, then I'll dive in.
Okay.
To it.
Just let me know.
Yeah, I've been away for almost a month, actually, from Cosmos and Metempsychosis activities. My mom passed on the 16th of June and 14th of July now. So it's been a few weeks. And it oddly just took that much time to move through the different phases of the funeral and the burial and so forth. So I'm just regrouping now and catching up with emails and threads and picking up projects that were in midstream when that occurred. Some of those are editing projects, like your book, Jeffrey Jen. I've also been working with Brian George, and fortunately, he is a like almost compulsive like reviser, and if you give him like an inch, he'll take a mile to just rework something. So he's been, since the original manuscript submission a year ago, reworking it, and has promised to get me a new draft by next Wednesday when we're gonna speak. But if he doesn't, that's okay. I mean, he does. He produces very finished work. Even his earlier drafts often to me feel there's not a lot I can do with them, other than like at a meta, asking, you know, meta questions and looking for interesting omissions or you know, maybe unwarranted leaps, or there's different logic with Brian's work. But we still will, I think, need another reader whenever he finishes that. So that could be from among us, or it could be somebody who's not yet shown up, or who may respond to the classified ads that we put up. But that's a concrete project that I think we'll need a little more help for. Also, Zachary Fetter got in touch very recently, a few days ago, and said that he has a manuscript. It's not the book that he's been working on in the Writer's Underground, the Will to Surrender, which was more of a personal memoir, kind of coming of age and spiritual enlightenment, or however he would describe that. This, I haven't looked at it yet, but this is a, I guess, working with the psychological like archetypes of myths, Greek myths and other ancient myths and biblical myths, and looking at them from a depth psychological level. And that's just what he said about it. So he sent me the draft, and I told him I'd take a look at it and get back to him. And then I imagine other people would be interested in looking at it as well. And that might be something else. Lisa Murawski also had a manuscript on consciously evolving language. And we had a couple of three readers actually for that: John Davis, Doug Duff, and Heather Fester. And John and Doug got on it pretty quickly, and they recorded a conversation and that they had about her manuscript, and gave her feedback in a thread. And then last week, Heather and I got together locally at a coffee shop, and we had a dialogue about the manuscript and about other like language and poetry and space and ritual, and recorded that just audio only and shared that with Lisa. But Lisa is getting hip surgery and is going to be like laid up for a few weeks. She said that she would use that time to take in our feedback, like John and Doug's and myself and Heather's, and do some work on the manuscript. It definitely needs not a rewrite, but sort of a refinement. It needs a refinement. It hasn't quite matured enough from where it started. It originally was a blog, and then she compiled it into a quasi book, but there it still has some vestigial like elements of the blog and doesn't have all the substance of the book, but there is a book. So that's another project. I'm working on my own poetry. That's slow and painful, but also ecstatic when it comes. I think I'll read something this weekend. Heather and her partner now are having a kind of party, but a art event too, called Art Fusion. And some friends from out of town are coming, and other local folks. And she's set up a structure, like there'll be readings and whatever anybody wants to share that doesn't have to be poetry. It could be any kind of creative expression. And then like some space for maybe audience response and reflection, and then more just open. So that's this Saturday, and that's cool. And then the next week, another neighbor, Mary Lynn, who and her partner Ben are doing a salon, which they're calling Culture Reboot, I think, and the new hero's journey. And the idea being like to provide a space where local people who are more of a creative bent and more of an alternative thinking bent can brainstorm on creating a new movement or creating a new sense of cultural movement that, you know, is maybe, I don't know. I certainly perceive this, but I'm not sure what everybody else thinks, but is dampened or stressed, certainly, like in the, I don't know. Like where do we go now is maybe more kind of the question. Like after the Trump presidency, after COVID, in the midst of, some really hostile and contentious like cultural debates around everything, race, the economy, the ecology, you name it. So I imagine that's part of what the conversation there will be about. And that connects to what we're doing. And I think it connects to Cosmos, because part of the purpose and the idea for doing a cooperative, in my mind at least, is that it's some kind of response. Like it's a way of organizing, gathering, gathering resources and gathering diverse talent in order to do something that you couldn't do just as an individual creator. If you were just trying to do it solo or like that, that your creative work could also participate in this larger context in an organized, collective fashion. And what would an organization like Cosmos as a cooperative with the elements that entails, and also with like a vision of like recreating or renewing culture or imagining, I think you put it, for the 21st century, like an inclusive cultural vision and a participatory framework. Like those are the kinds of things I think that we can crystallize and put into like the mission, what we're doing now, and the vision, what we're doing tomorrow, is what I got from Bridget's post. Although it doesn't totally land for me exactly, that particular article about how to make a vision and mission statement. A lot of the examples were like, what? That's their mission, vision? Tesla? Like, Tesla's actually wasn't bad. That's actually a good one. But some of the other are so generic, I don't understand how they're of any purpose.
Does it even relate to what they're making or doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was more just, well, I saw it as more as a kind of effort to distinguish between vision and mission statements, because that's often gets confused. So at least you can kind of see what the difference is. Not necessarily like what they did with theirs, but you can kind of see the difference.
It was nice to see all the examples and then feel that we are going to surpass them.
Easily. Easily, yeah. But it's still hard, I think. But I think mission and vision are a little different. Like when I think of mission as having to do with what one does. Like your mission in the world is what you're doing in the world. Like you're, you know, if you are, like if you're literally a missionary, like mm-hmm. you're converting souls, right, to your faith. The vision is what you see. It's what you are, what you become, like who we are is the, what the vision is about. Like, and our, in that case, the visionary, like the visionary aspect of the missionary is like the kingdom of God on earth or something like that, right? It's like, we believe that we need, we must perform this mission because, or in order to fulfill the kingdom of heaven on earth, right? Like that would, so I think with Cosmos, I mean, one of the things about our mission that I feel like is important, which I didn't so much sense reflected in the statements, is like that, like we're making art, you know, and that, like, it's like that, like the fact of making it, of creating and celebrating those creations and bringing those forth and creating community around that, I think is really central. Like, you know, if it were a heavy machine equipment manufacturer, like their mission would be like to make the best tractors, you know, like in the industry, or to, you know, to you know, move mountains or something like that. Like, so something like, I think is really essential. Like we're in the business of producing art, right? Literature, music, film, whatever it is, like there's something important about that creative aspect, that we're creating something and we're creating something together. Like at the meta level, we're creating Cosmos, but then we're creating Cosmos in order to facilitate and like support our own create our own particular creations. So I feel like that's a mission, you know, like somebody's called to that. Like they're called to be an artist, they're called to be a writer, a poet. Or even if they don't have a particular identity for the kind of art they do, or the, you know, or it's like meta art or something, or it's like there's some calling that one responds to, and, you know, or to appreciate art, like to appreciate writing, to appreciate conversation, like to participate in the culture around it. So cultural creation, artistic creation, I think is key. And also that it's like not just any art, like it's like, but not like ideological art either, like not like a certain kind of art. Like there's a sort of open visionary like quality that is, it's art of a, you know, with a meaning or with a purpose. Like a lot of our conversations often are about that dimension of things. And one of the dichotomies that I think has arisen often in Cosmos conversations is that there's a kind of, the sense that there's a dominant worldview or a paradigm, and maybe it's physicalist or materialist or relativist or something like that, but it's like there's an attempt to like articulate a vision that includes more than that, like includes depth or includes consciousness or includes spirit, or I think that's part of it. Maybe that's more on the mission side, but it's tricky to say things like that without sounding kind of cultish or without being alienating, you know, to people that are like, you know, who think sophisticatedly about metaphysics and, you know, identity. So
do you want to get some text in the chat and start playing with it like last time? Like, do you want to start?
I'd be up for that. Be cool if we had, I don't know, like a whiteboard or something like that, and we could, this would be the perfect time to have one of those big dry erase boards.
Yeah. I don't know if we can do one that like all of us can participate in. We could definitely like share a screen for somebody who had a text document open and oh no, you know what we could do? I could make a Google Doc.
Yeah.
And we could all be in it writing at the same time.
Yeah, go ahead. That sounds good.
Okay. Let me give me a moment. Google Docs.
While you do that, I'll mention that when I went back and looked at the presentation I made a few years ago, one phrase that I liked that came out again, which need not be necessarily like in any of these statements, but just I felt like was captured something, was the notion of collective genius. And I remember having gotten that from a book by the same title by a researcher, I think one of the Ivy League schools, who had been doing a study. She was like a psychologist and had studied creativity in organizations and in teams. And she looked at companies like Pixar and then other companies and like, how do they work? Because she was identifying those as these examples of individual talents coming together to create a product that was, you know, surpassing of what they could do alone, but also like innovative in a larger sense, like the Pixar films or, the production lines of this car company or whatever it was. She had a few different examples. But she was looking at how those teams worked together and looking at the way they communicated and the way they made decisions and how they made space for different voices to come through. And the thought that I had had was that those same or similar principles could be applied not just to a company making a product or a consumer product, which was more where she was coming from, but to like the creative process itself of creators, that if individual creators thought about creating collective genius, that what would that look like? What would that be like if people who are like specialists, like they're creativity specialists, as it were, put their minds together, what kind of organization would they come up? Would they dream up? How would they redefine more fundamental relationships, not just inside the terms of their work, but socially? So there was a sense that like Cosmos was also like a meta like statement, like a meta act, a meta creative act that in its own being like was making an aesthetic statement. But that may be just too abstract. Like that may be too self-referential or self-reflexive or something. Anyhow, you have a Google Doc.
There, yeah, if you click on that link, I think I've given everyone all the permissions.
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah.
Good. I see you. You are an anonymous Aurox. I'm an anonymous beaver. I don't know why it doesn't just say that I'm me, since I am connected with my own Google account, but oh well. Hello, Marco, you are a hedgehog.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm logged in too, though.
Weird. I know, okay. It just assigns you animals. So you are the little purple cursor represented by a hedgehog.
And Doug made some suggestions too.
Yeah, I copied those down below.
Should we maybe start with one, focus on it, read it out loud, look at what Doug says, and then...
Sure. And his suggestions were for the mission statement only. He didn't have any comments for the vision one. So the mission statement at the end of the last meeting was foster community within a participatory framework where creators can discuss, develop, and promote their works. And Doug's suggestions related to that sort of like not everyone is necessarily present in a creator capacity. There, like, there's also a place for the people who discuss and contribute in other ways without necessarily, I mean, to use a corporate speech, without generating content, but are still like really participating in a really valuable way.
Yeah, I tend to think of those as creators anyway, but I understand the need to be a little bit more inclusive in the way the thing is written. So, yeah.
Okay, so the mission statement as written, foster community within a participatory framework where creators can discuss, develop, and promote their works. And then Doug's suggestions, add contributors and inspired individuals and ideas. So foster community within a participatory framework where creators, contributors, and inspired individuals can discuss, develop, and promote their ideas and their works.
So it sounded, Marco, also like if I try to distill sort of what you were saying, what's missing is maybe this sense of revolution, like that we're creating something entirely new, an entirely new structure.
Although that's in the vision statement, though. So this idea of an inclusive cultural transformation for the 21st century beyond is where the revolutionary part comes in. This is again where it gets a bit of where the boundary between the vision and the mission statement is not always clear.
But I do agree with you, Jeffrey, that I think a lot of Marco's thoughts, the place that they belong is in the vision statement.
So in the mission, it starts with foster community. So that would make that seem like the community or the fostering of community is the main thing that we're doing. And I think it is an important thing that we're doing. But if you had like 2 seconds to tell somebody, would that be the first thing that like... Because right? Because it's I'm questioning that because although community is essential, I'm not sure it's the thing that we're doing, the mission. Like, but maybe it is, or maybe what do you think? Like,
I'd love to hear your 2 second explanation. Go.
Empower creators to realize their fullest potential in a cooperative community.
Okay. I see you're kind of just it like turning the order of things around a bit.
The priority.
Yeah.
But there I don't think that's perfect. Like there but the idea, at least everyone who's stuck with this, like, is somebody they're kind of a misfit in other places. And they have some chip on their shoulder. They have something inside them. They have some, you know, idea that, like, it doesn't, like, it's not, other spaces are not as conducive. Like, they don't have the space to just fully be, you know, be themselves as much, or they don't get the feedback that they need, or they're not met as, at as deep a level or something like that. Not that they couldn't, but it's like they aren't. It isn't set up for that. And I mean, part of the cooperative idea is that also creators are often kind of at the mercy of the economic forces. Like they have, if they want to publish, they have to play that particular game, or if they want to make any other kind of artifact, there's usually industry constraints around how that can take place and how the economics of that work, how the rewards are distributed, what the rights are, etc. Like they're often, not always, but often at a disadvantage in those contexts, or at least they're working against interests, like other like interests and incentives that maybe don't always optimize for like their best work. Like, and what if there were a context where we're not as interested in whether or not you can be commercially successful, but we want really for you to be successful according to another set, like a higher standard, as it were. You know, like, is it truly your highest self? Is it truly like, you know, feel like it's fulfills something about your life? You know, like there's a different standard, I think. And whether or not something is commercially viable, we want to err on the side of it being like actually satisfying, like actually like the art that you want to make or the art that you feel called to make. So like maybe authenticity or something is involved there. But that's why like the empower is a kind of also a buzzword. I don't know if it's a word I want to use necessarily, but there is a power aspect to this. Like because as a co-op, I mean, there are a lot of arts organizations and literary, you know, writers associations and things like that, but a cooperative is a structure, a power structure, right? And it's a way of gathering and combining power that's distinct from other forms and is actually a reaction, an attempt to evolve beyond those forms. It's an attempt to embed autonomy and democracy like in a productive context. And so it is a way of empowerment, because concretely we'd have money, we'd have time, we'd have resources to like get projects done, to like the Science Fiction Association and Speculative Writers Association, they can leverage their membership and say, look, hey, movie studio, you know, or you know, publication, like, you know, we have clout, like, and in order to you know, play this game, you have to pay writers X, like you have to at least establish, like they're able to have political influence in other words. And even though Cosmos is not per se a political institution, also, you know, it is political, like they're insofar as it's enacting that structure, and that itself is trying to alter something in the world about how it's trying to create a possibility that is, you know, more less accessible now than it could be. So maybe that's part of the vision, but the mission part, I think, has something to do with like engaging writers, like and there's also an element of being engaged, like not in an ideological way. Like we're not saying you have to believe X, Y, or Z or this policy or that policy, but there's a sense that we're not just producing for like an academic elite, like that. Like we mean for our work to, like the work that changes, we are attracted to work that changes our lives, that changes how we think and feel and relate. And we also want to create work that, you know, that is, you know, has an impact in that sense. And to me, like some of the people that we've read really exemplify that, like Ursula Le Guin and Octavia Butler and even, I mean, there's a lot, I mean, so many of the discussions we've had in the cafe have been really a response to like what's going on in the world and like how do we think through it, and what kind of better ideas can we bring to our understanding of you know, things like the pandemic or climate change or racism or economic inequality, etc. So I'm just riffing. I'm just.
Okay. It sounds to me like, I mean, it's part of what we want to. Drawing from what you're kind of pulling stuff out of what you've said, is it part of our mission to like provide a place for work to thrive that like wouldn't be thriving under more traditional economic frameworks? Is that sort of a, is that?
That resonates with me that for sure. Like work that couldn't take root, couldn't thrive in, like even like a lot, like a number of people who've come through Cosmos are academics who don't have space in their department or in their institution for the kind of work that, or the kind of topics that they can discuss here. So that work can thrive here, which can't take root elsewhere. What's Anonymous Beaver is writing?
That's Jeffrey Gent.
I'm just writing out notes. The notes down below so that we can think about how to include them back up into the statement.
Mm. I think the community part is should be in there though, too. Even if it's not first.
Well, I had this idea of this thing that I give voice to, a community of vision is not quite right, but what I'm thinking of is individual artists enriching the voice of the individual with an engagement or a sense of the communal. Somehow, the reason the reason why I brought Plenum to the writers underground, obviously I was looking for help and on feedback on the book, but to an extent it's also because Cosmos has a broader vision of the world, and so bringing the book to that group is kind of a way of allowing it to absorb some of the vision of the group into the individual work, you know? So there's a kind of a way where there's it's an intelligence of the group that can inform the work of the individuals. That's what I'm getting. That's why it's not quite a communal voice that I mean. It's a resonance, communal resonance almost, you know? Anyway, not sure that I'm being clear, but.
I kind of follow what you're saying. I mean, for me, I can't imagine doing the work that I'm doing now without all of you. Like, it's become a loop, you know, it's become a sort of figure eight where I work on something, and this has been the pattern, right? We've concretized this, like we've prototyped it. That's a deep inner process. That's a personal process. And then I bring it forth to the group. And there's a feedback process there. And it also enters into the collective consciousness and has a kind of ripple effect. But also other relationships, other conversations I'm in, inform my writing. So the vision of people like John Davis or Doug or any of the authors we've studied, and not just that we've studied, but we've collectively studied. So the conversations really that we have about those works themselves feed back into my work, which feeds. So there are these loops that are created. And I think it's a mutual enrichment. Like we enrich ourselves through participating in those kinds of conversations and that kind of work together. And then our individual work enriches the community and creates, you know, more of a cultural body. And then of course Cosmos and, you know, all the individuals have multiple contexts and, like, you know, belong to different organizations and so on. And then the organizations have those sorts of, so it becomes more ecosystemic, I think. Like if we imagine, you know, cultural creation as part of what moves history, part of what moves human evolution, then I'd like to think we're participating in that if we're doing this kind of work. And that we're doing that, we're participating as individuals, but we're also as an organization, like that it's playing a role, you know, it has something to say through us or us through it and vice versa.
Still not sure how to write that down, though.
Yeah. Right. It's gotta distill. It doesn't all, and we also need to include that receptive dimension and the, like the contributors and the inspired individual. So it's we may offer specific opportunities to people who want to be professional writers, like publishing and so forth, but we are also offering opportunities for the inner art, you know, the artist in everyone, the creator in everyone, like the universal, like that spark that you don't have to be writing a book. You could just have ideas. You could just, you know, be inspired, you know, by the ideas of others or by the works of others and still have something to say, still have, be honored, be recognized, you know, in this community. And really being seen as essential. Like we're not just about, like we need audience, we need community in order for the work to be completed. Like it's incomplete until it's really brought forth and shared and received and that there's a response. I mean, I don't think that's everybody's ideal, but I think that that's an important aspect, that it is back and forth. And there,
So one way to tackle this, we've put discuss, develop, and promote their works. And that's kind of given the impression that there will be like rather conventional or like, you know, that there will be poems produced and stories and like visual art or maybe even innovative forms. But actually, in a sense, this is like a kind of conventional view. And so maybe instead of works, we're making a participatory framework where creators can, give voice to a communal vision or can explore a vision of, or something, or can, you know, like all of these little notes that we've been taking, like maybe this is what we can tweak. Mm-hmm. In the mission statement. Maybe we're doing something broader than just producing something.
I think you're right. It's not just about works. Like that's the artifact. They're important, I think. But a lot of times, like it's the work is there to, like it's a site where people can meet and have an experience, right? Yeah. And it draws something out of us when we encounter good work, great work.
Well, maybe it's, this is a crazy idea, but a kind of a mega work or a mega sculpture where everybody's work is a part of the larger work, you know, so that the goal is to create a kind of collective compendium in which each of us contribute pieces of it. And it's the compendium in this larger sense. I don't know, it's just, maybe that's silly, but.
I personally love that idea. I see it that way. I see that, like, in the largest sense, outside of Cosmos Co-op and our, you know, business and everything, like that, you could see the cosmos as a collective work by all the beings who exist, you know, or the mind of God. If you like, there's some sense in which it's this grand production where everybody plays, as everybody plays their part, we're all creating this much grander event. And in a micro, in a more concrete sense, that like each person showing up, contributing their piece, aggregates into a larger vision, into a larger thing, which is emergent from those contributions. It's not sort of a top-down like plan, like we're all going to be on this script, but it emerges from your novel and my poems and your stories and this person's conversation, this person's memes or whatever they, and this person's coding, their programming, their graphic design. Like every piece of it could really be honored as contributing to a larger vision, a larger movement. I would prefer that. Like, I don't want to establish a hard division between the creators and the consumers or the technical support and the poets, like that there could be poetry and technical support. And often there's poetry requires technical support. I do resonate with that.
You know, it's like, that's what I was trying to get at, was my own reference, the all human compendium. Kind of big, but.
Well, you put it into your novel.
I know.
I think that there's also an element of, we don't talk about this very much, and it's not in vogue, but tradition, I think, is like there's a way in which we're, I think, can be seen as, we can aspire to like keeping alive or recreating a tradition, like a larger, like a cosmic tradition, like that, our human tradition, that, you know, we're not a national or a regional organization, and in principle, we want to welcome the diverse expressions of all of humanity, and also of, you know, more than humanity. You know, we want to welcome the voices and the energies or the intelligences of nature and of, you know, subtle beings, or, you know, of higher intelligences. And I'm not saying put that in the mission statement, but there is a sense, I think, of like that there's some moving beyond. Like, I believe we have to move beyond factionalism and tribalism. Like, I think that we have to reserve the bonds that those, you know, the sense of a bond, the sense of belonging that a tribe or a nation or a peer group gives. But we also have to think about and through our common, our universal context. And in the history of our thought, in the history of Western thought, at least, you know, we've gone from a kind of absolutist universalism to like a reductionist relativism. And we've experienced, I think, the downsides of both of those extremes in thought. And there's, I think, there's an impulse to move towards something like an integralism, or I don't know, like local globalism, or some planetary synthesis where you know, we're not just top down imposing a you know, a metaphysics on ourselves. We're allowing it to emerge from the uniqueness and the individuality and the particularity of diverse experience and diverse peoples. But we're also not just letting a kind of separatist vision, you know, be the norm. Like, we are also recognizing a commonness, a common humanity, a common intelligence, like that we're part of something larger. There's a bigger story. It's not just about us as individual creators. Like, all right. So, bringing that down to a mission, you've been typing some words, I think, Mary.
Yes. You have. Mixing them in with the Jeffrey Jens.
What do you like from what you've heard that feels like it's resonant?
Well, it definitely highlighted the word emergent. And I think it goes well with vision. And I think, like, art is how we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I like this too. I think the flow of an exchange of ideas is part of how we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was just me trying to make it into a sentence.
let me suggest something. What if we were to take like 5 minutes, like pause the recording or pause like discussion, and just each of us, based on the discussion we've had in the last hour or so, write something separately, and then we'll come back. Like, how would you synthesize what we've discussed with what has previously been discussed, and just give it a shot, you know, and see what we come up with. Like, we'll time it, come back, share, discuss, and see if some they're common threads or common words, and there's some way that we can bring them together into another. Shall we?
Yep. Yep. Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to set a timer. 5 minutes. Starting it. Okay, I definitely would want to wordsmith this quite a bit better, but we're back, taking all a few minutes to come up with our own statements. So I'll read mine, and then maybe Jeffrey, Jen, and Mary, you can read yours. I didn't want to use the word empower, but here it is. To empower creators, including the creative side in all of us, or I wanted to get to say something about not just creators, quote, quote, but including, so some, I would want to say something like including the, you know, our inner artists or inner creative or the in all of us, to develop, produce, and promote and discuss their unique visions and ideas within a community of solidarity, inclusion, and I couldn't think of another word, so I said respect. That's mine.
Okay, I might provide the opportunity for creative and inspired individuals to contribute to the creation and expression of a collective or communal vision, through the production and sharing of individual works of art, through mutual exchanges and discussions, and the fostering of inclusive and diverse forms of participation.
Cool. I'm going to need to see all these to be able to read them as well as hear them.
They're on Google Docs.
Did you type it in?
Yeah, I pasted mine in and Marco.
Oh, I see. Are they at the bottom? Oh, yeah. I just needed to scroll down. Oh, okay. Oh, I was writing mine in my notebook. Okay.
Well, I did too, but I quickly typed it in.
Okay, I'll type mine in soon, in a moment. All right, I wrote, a nourishing space where members, through artistic creation and the mutual exchange of ideas, can come together in search of an emergent vision necessary for our time and context.
I like the nourishing. The rest I have to see to understand.
It just flies by so quick, eh?
I like the emergent vision there. I like the contribute in Jeffrey Jen's. And mutual exchanges, inclusive and diverse forms of participation. The vital, the word vital is vital. I have an idea. What if we each take one of the other person's statements and rewrite it?
Or if you just tried to smush them all together. Or what if we all redid ours, but taking what we liked best from other people's, and then they'll sort of start to converge.
Okay. Another 5 minutes?
Sure.
done something. How about you guys?
Well, I'm struggling, but I would love to hear what you guys have.
And not quite there. I need a few more minutes, a couple of minutes.
Okay, so let's do another three. Oh.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't know about the others, but
Yeah, I haven't made, like, I'm not making any huge, I don't know. I would love to hear yours.
Well, maybe you should start, though. Just maybe there's something. No.
No, I wondered if maybe we want, like that line that Jeffrey wrote, intelligence of the group informs the work of individuals. Maybe like the way to phrase that is sort of nourished by discussions in an environment of respect and solidarity, something like that.
So I put my new one down at the bottom.
Provide a nourishing space for creators and others, inspiring and contributing in diverse ways to collective and vital vision within participatory community based on inclusion, solidarity, and mutual respect. All right. I got some semicolons in there. No. Need those.
So you, I went from a long one to a short one, and you went from a short one to a long one.
That's what a semicolon will do for you, is just let you rattle off lists with conjunctions in there.
Yeah. I like it. I wonder if all of that, like, I think at a certain point, we do need to pull out a shorter mission statement, but...
I like the nourish too, you know, like that. I'm missing nourishment. Maybe like empowerment and nourishment, those could be smashed together somehow. You know, they represent like some, sorry too, you, I think I cut you off. I just, you were like suggesting we can cut it down. So yeah, I think toward the end I started getting kind of messy in mine. The thing is, you know, terms like which I had included in my prior effort, inclusion, solidarity, mutual respect, they're kind of vague, I think, like they're a little generic. So I thought maybe listing a few specific things that are central to what we do now, but that, of course, they can change, but the groups, the collaborations, publication, there's an educational aspect to, I think, what we're doing that has not been as emphasized, but is important. So I put in courses and learning events, and then the solidarity, economics. What's up with this train? That's like, I think the fifth train in the last hour. Okay, so it's the top of the hour. I've been doing this for an hour.
So I kind of like the Mary's vital. I got the I needed the extra 3 minutes to work vital in.
Yeah. I like vital too.
The train also likes it. I can't. I actually, I have to get moving soon. I have to bounce.
Well, maybe what we do is we post the different versions on and get some feedback from the group without necessarily coming to a final version today.
Yeah, we're not reaching a final version today. Well, you're not with me here anyway.
No.
You guys
can keep working as long as you like. I mean, I would definitely want to keep working on it and tinkering, and I can post something and we can continue it on the discussion thread.
Yeah.
I think we've introduced some new notions into the draft. Mm-hmm.
And the Google Doc is there. We could link to it in the thread if we felt like it.
Okay. Is there anything we should touch on with respect to publishing? Website, web publishing. the website?
I don't think so. I don't know if I certainly haven't been responsible for any new developments. I don't know if anyone else has things to share, but
we'll come back to it then. Yeah, I haven't really caught up with the site yet.
Yeah, I'm not all that glued in right now. So,
cool. Okay. I guess we'll to be continued then. I don't know, Jeff or Jen, how do you feel? Would you like to stay on for a little while, or do you have other things to get to?
Oh, I can stay on for a little while if you want to talk a bit more. So.
All right, sounds like I'm going to sign off, and next time I look at my computer, you guys are going to have the perfect vision statement all done.
Yeah. No, I don't think we're going to do a lot more work on it. But...
Okay.
Oh, no problem. Well, it was really... I am inspired to make it progress, so something will happen.
Awesome. Well, it was really good to see you guys today.
Lovely to see you, Mary.
Mary.
Okay, next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
I think I'm juiced out for this stuff right now.
Yeah, I think I need a little more time just to sit with it and to like reread the variations that we produced. And I like to wordsmith like at my own pace. I don't like doing it like live. Yeah, there's noodling and obsessing a little bit. But
I thought we got some good points in that, as you say, that we didn't have in the first version.
I think so too, and some new words with some energy behind them as well. The emergent vision, the vital or vitality, and the thriving. That was another one word that came.
And even the nourishing, which offsets empowering. I mean, I like the word empowering, but it's become a bit overused in too many contexts almost. You know?
Yeah, I would agree. Well, I'll work on this. I also need to go back to and look at some of the older materials, like from years ago, that... Mm. You know, where Caroline and I in particular were really generating ideas and attempting to articulate as kind of as big a vision as we could, probably too big for where we were at, but there was some I felt spark of
because I did go back and look at the summaries that Caroline had posted. I didn't go back to the original material, but I did go back to the summaries. So when we started,
I think we're close. We're circling around some center of gravity that I think will constellate something at least good enough for now. Because I do want to move forward, and I it's actually important that I do, and that I've been doing this now 5 years, and to move it to the next stage where there's an infrastructure,
a legal structure, and I mean, it's not the legal part that's important, but it does tend to nail things down in a sense. Yeah,
it forces your hand, I think. It forces you to do something that actually is workable, but to me too, that would really, I think it would open the doors for others, because there'd be something to hold on, not just
my vision. It's been hard to do right now, up to now.
Yeah. But also it'd be good to sell some books and have some members. And
do you mind if we turn off the recording for a moment?
Oh, sure. Okay, bye. I'm going to stop it. All right, we'll continue the conversation. Editorial conversation later.